You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, LA? Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Big night tonight. Got to find out what happens between the Houston Rockets, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tonight we might have our second round matchup already determined, so we will keep you posted on that game that's going on right now. They got about 5 minutes left in the first half. It's the Thunder up 3 against the Houston Rockets. By the way, Joe Vardon from The Athletic, he's at that game. He'll call in at halftime of that game, give us a little bit of an update. He also had a great article over the weekend, A Moment Alone with LeBron James, who explained why he was ready to quit. So we'll talk to him a little bit about his article on The Athletic. Om Yongmasuk will come up at 8:30. So we got a lot to get into. Let's obviously start with wrapping up round one of the playoffs for the Los Angeles Lakers. It feels like forever since the last time the Lakers won a playoff series, and it has been forever. It's been 8 years. How much longer do you want to wait? I think Laker fans are, you know, not only happy to just get back into the postseason, but you got this big picture in mind. It's interesting. You know, we listened to George Sedano and Elzie Granderson playing those clips of all those experts out there that were picking, Lakers are actually going to, they'll be upset by the Portland Trailblazers. This is going to be a squeaker. And here we are in five games. The Lakers took care of business. And by the way, let me emphasize this. It wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. Lakers weren't, for what you were accustomed to watching back in March, back in February, and watch this 50-plus win team that had the best record in the Western Conference, you have been trained to watch the Lakers play a certain brand of basketball that's as good as anybody in the NBA. And I'll say this, and you know, I understand how this works. I know it was just the first round, but that's not good enough as we go forward, if that makes sense. What I mean by that is it was nice to see the Lakers, you can pretty much say, dismantle the Portland Trailblazers in the three wins that they had. When they won game 2, 3, and 4, it was by an average of 17 points. That was the average of the three games. You had Anthony Davis and LeBron James start to take over. Defensively for the Lakers, they showed why they were one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. So there's a lot of good things to walk away from. But when I say that that's not good enough for round two, it's definitely not good enough for the Western Conference Finals when you face the Los Angeles Clippers. I genuinely mean that. By the way, this is kind of part of the process. The process is this is a ramp up. Lakers aren't playing round one as if this is the toughest opponent. I know that. You know that. Every Laker fan knows that. So overall for the Lakers, it's nice that they took care of business and they did it in just five games. But I'm sure every Laker fan out there, and even those, the players and the coaching staff, they all know they're going to have to play better basketball. If it is the Houston Rockets in round two, by the way, I'm taking on this new mantra. You know, I did this when we were trying to figure out Lakers or Blazers, or if it was going to be the Blazers. Of course, when I'm watching the games, I wanted the Blazers to lose. But what I was typing up on Twitter and what I was barking on the radio, I kept saying, bring on the Blazers. Bring them on. This is what we need. We need to wake up with a matchup like this against the Portland Trailblazers. Now I'm shifting my attention. Now I'm saying, bring on the Houston Rockets. Let's get Russell Westbrook. Let's get James Harden. Bring on both of those MVP players and let the Lakers kind of be forced to continue to bring up their caliber of play. And that's not to say that the Oklahoma City Thunder, that's not a good matchup, that's not a tough matchup. It would be, but it's such a more traditional style of basketball. I think the Lakers would be just fine. I think they'd be just fine when it comes to that front. So it's 40-40 right now, Rockets and the Thunder. Okay, so this is what I want to do. Overall thoughts in round one, like I mentioned, The Lakers are going to have to be better. I thought the Blazers were a terrific warm-up for round two. I think the Rockets will be an outstanding warm-up to round three, which would be the Western Conference Finals. But doesn't it seem like everything that we're doing right now, everything that we're doing, all the conversations that we're having, is just a matter of time before it's the Lakers and the Clippers? We don't know who the Clippers are going to play in round one. It's either going to be the Utah Jazz or Denver Nuggets, which has been such a fantastic series. That's what I'm looking for. When Om Young Masuk, when he comes on at 8:30, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about just the NBA in general and the playoffs. The playoffs have been outstanding. But it doesn't feel like it matters who the Lakers have in round two, and it doesn't really matter who the Clippers have in round two, because essentially, it's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. I'm not saying Lakers are going to sweep the Rockets or sweep the Thunder. I'm not trying to make it sound like that's not going to be a series. No, against the Rockets, you might have a good six-game set, tough matchup. They play such a different style of basketball. They go small ball, which I know can't be too comfortable for the Los Angeles Lakers until they put Anthony Davis at the five, and then they're beyond comfortable and probably dominate from there. So I get that the Houston Rockets could present some problems, but I'm just not too worried about it. The Lakers got too much talent. I mean, you guys saw, let's use that series against the Portland Trail Blazers. This is a perfect example. Lakers playing the Blazers. Everybody's talking about Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. There's only so much two players can do. And the drop-off between Anthony Davis and LeBron James to when you get to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, it's such a significant drop-off on both sides of the floor that you can't really even make any comparisons or have any conversations, which is why I kind of stood back and, yes, the Blazers were playing good ball. Yes, the Blazers went 7-2 in the Orlando bubble. Yes, the Lakers struggled immensely inside that bubble before, you know, the postseason started. And even some of these postseason games, they haven't looked all that crisp. But even with all that, Matt, even with all that in mind, what happens usually at the end of the day? Talent will eventually take over. So I use that example against the Houston Rockets as well. If it is the Rockets, I'm just assuming here. You can make some assumptions every once in a while. I'm assuming it's the Houston Rockets, and if it is the Houston Rockets, then that Russell Westbrook and that James Harden tandem, fantastic tandem. It ain't LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's not, and it's nowhere even near to that. By the way, what a incredibly, incredibly weird week for the NBA. How about the last week in the NBA? I was setting up to do the pregame show on Wednesday. And, you know, obviously we get word. I was actually doing an interview with Mark Spears, who's been so good at covering the NBA, the ability to try and strive for social justice, which is obviously what the NBA is doing. Mark Spears has been all over it. Mark Spears for ESPN's Undefeated. I'm in the middle of an interview with him. And that's when we find out about the Orlando game's not going to happen. But when I say what a weird week in basketball, just in general, I thought there was a moment there where I thought the season's going to end. I really did. I genuinely felt like, okay, there's a good chance that this season is not going to go through. And then it comes back on, and then there's no games Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And then Saturday, everybody just tries to get back into it. I mean, for me, selfishly, I wanted to see basketball continue. But I understood that this was much bigger than basketball, and I had done some stuff on Wednesday, and in platforms that I have, I mentioned, listen, if that's it, if that's a wrap and that's what these players want to do, I respect their decision, I respect what they're trying to do, I respect their goal, and of course, now we're, you know, playing games again. But it was weird to have Saturday's game. And now that, you know, I think we have a few days under our belt, it's becoming a little bit more normal that NBA is back. But just an incredible respect for some of these players. I really genuinely do. I got a chance to catch up with Kyle Kuzma during practice today. So after they had practice, Kyle Kuzma addressed the media, and I'll play Kuz and some of his responsibility that he has.
I think over the past decades of basketball players, that's all we've kind of ever been, was just basketball players. That's all we focused on, just trying to bring enjoyment to fans and basketball fans across the world, and rightfully so. You know, that's our job. But at the same time, people need to realize that we're amongst the community too. We care about what's going on in our communities and where we live and where other people live, because we're human. You know, people that label us as basketball players forget the aspect of humanity and act as if we're just, you know, part of a circus or a show to entertain. But there's a lot of us that actually care about why the country is doing so bad right now, why it's so divided. A lot of things of that nature that, you know, we feel like we have to stand up for, because we have a platform and there's a lot of people in this country that aren't heard. There's a lot of people from the ghetto. There's a lot of people from middle America and Kansas and Nebraska that nobody ever hears about. And for us, you know, we understand that we have that access and that platform and responsibility to do that for people across the country.
That's Kyle Kuzma right there, earlier from practice. You know, it's kind of a polarizing conversation. By the way, you know, this is one of those conversations, too, that people are on, I mean, completely on both sides of the spectrum. I put out a tweet on Wednesday saying I respect what the Milwaukee Bucks did, and I got a lot of feedback from people saying, no, I don't respect it. I don't appreciate it. Is what it is. This is one of those topics where you're going to have your own opinion, and it's okay whichever side you lean on. But when I say I got respect for the players, I love how they were willing to risk it all on the line and say, you know what, maybe this just isn't worth it. Maybe we just shouldn't play if everything that we're trying to get across is not coming across. And I think there's been some change that's come from it. On the short term, the outcome of this, you know, 3-day strike, they now are, we know about the arenas owned by NBA teams are being turned into polling places in the November election, and we saw that with Staples Center. There's going to be ads running during games promoting voting access and civic engagement. I don't know if these are the solutions, but like I mentioned, the fact that the NBA players were willing to say, we're good, we'll stop the whole season if there aren't some solutions, that says a lot right there. Joe Vardon, we are at halftime of the Thunder-Houston Rockets game. When we come back, we'll try and connect with Joe Vardon, talk a little bit about this game, matchup, which team would be more of an issue for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's the Rockets up 51-48 at the half. And if the Rockets win this game, then it's Lakers and the Houston Rockets. Round two would start, looks like, on Wednesday. Nothing official. Joe Vardon, when we come back, stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a voice by LeBron James. Who would have thought? Who would have thought LeBron had that type of a voice, even with that triple-double average in the first round against the Portland Trailblazers? Okay, let's head out to the Orlando bubble. We'll go out to Joe Vardon from The Athletic, who's there for the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Rockets up 51-48. Joe, thank you for doing this, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Alan. Thanks for having me.
All right, so what do you think here? Are we leaning towards, you think it's Rockets that close this game up and then close out the series and potentially have a second-round matchup against the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets, this is a nip-tuck game. Eric Gordon just hit one from the corner at the buzzer to send us into halftime with that 3-point lead. You know, the Rockets really haven't gotten going yet. And, you know, just kind of expecting that third or fourth quarter burst. But so far, so good for the Thunder. I mean, they're hanging in there. I'm really impressed with former Clipper Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that's for sure.
No, he's been fantastic. His first opportunity here with the Thunder in the postseason. Joe, I just to kind of, which way would you lean if you – had to determine what's a tougher matchup for the Lakers in round two? Is it no question about it? The Rockets would be a tougher matchup for the Lakers?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I just think, you know, the Rockets put you in situations that you just aren't used to. You know, their matchups are so different. and, you know, the kind of what they do defensively between switching everything, and then also they kind of go into a matchup zone, which they've run here tonight against the Thunder. You have those two just absolutely dynamic players at the top with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. And everybody on the team, you know, they all can shoot threes. I mean, P.J. Tucker is a really tough defender. He'll get into LeBron's face. You know, Eric Gordon's another tough out. So, you know, yeah, I really think that the Rockets would push the Lakers.
You know, when you say that, do you think they are a threat, a big enough threat to the Lakers that it could be an upset, that this is a team over a 7-game set that can take down the Lakers? Or do you feel like it's inevitable at one point it's going to be the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, I mean, we've always said that. And then, you know, the world changed and we ended up in this Disney bubble and there's so many things going on, obviously. But you look at these two teams, and certainly the Clippers appear to be taking steps in the right direction. You know, they are healthy, finally. Everybody's starting to play a little bit. Even Pat Bev, you know, hopefully can get back here soon. And they just, you know, they're kind of taking those baby steps. The Lakers, as we know, looked great after game one in that series with the Blazers. And they really did draw up something to him and Damian Lillard after the first game or two. And that was awesome. But you have to wonder how much of the Lakers' success and sort of how good they look now was a result of the Blazers being totally drained, which they were. I mean, they had played like 10 playoff games in a row, basically, just to get there. And or if you count game one, too, you know, to get to that 1-0 lead. And they were just out of gas, you know, and then Zach Collins gets hurt and then eventually Dame gets hurt. So it's like, you know, I was thrilled with what I saw out of the Lakers as the series wore on. But I just don't know what to make of it, like how real that is. And the Rockets will surely tell us which way the Lakers are headed.
Joe Vardon, who is inside the Orlando bubble from The Athletic, is at the Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder game. Joe, I think you said it best there, just kind of putting it that the Rockets, just like, you know, you thought Portland was going to wake up the Lakers a bit, Houston will certainly do the same if they end up winning this game. Joe, I want to just go off script a little bit here. You had an article in The Athletic, and while we have you here, I want to see if you could talk a little bit about this. A Moment Alone with LeBron James, who explained why he was ready to quit. It's been a crazy few days in the NBA over the last 5 days or so. Can you talk a little bit about what was LeBron James' thoughts after the games were canceled on Wednesday evening, and how close were we to not having basketball again, at least in this Orlando bubble?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how to measure it, but, you know, after the game and after his public comments, LeBron told me that when he went to bed on Wednesday night, he had major reservations about playing basketball anymore. That is a stunning comment. I mean, if you think about how old he is, what year he's in, the position the Lakers are in, like, he's got a legit chance to win a fourth title. And when he went to bed on Wednesday night, he was ready to walk away from it. And he said the reason was is that, like, this historic massive protest had been staged, but there was no thought, and certainly all the way up through that Wednesday meeting, there was no real initiative from anyone kind of saying, okay, here's what we do to get out of this, or here's what we do to get something out of this. And given the, you know, like LeBron is right there with everybody in terms of, like, the racial injustice and social justice and seeking change and all that. But there were potential major ramifications for the future of the NBA by what happened on Wednesday. And LeBron was frustrated by that. And at that point was like, listen, if we don't have an idea on how to make something out of this, then we shouldn't play. And, you know, that's, I mean, for the face of the league to be there on Wednesday night is significant.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic taking some time to join Lakers Talk. What did you think it meant knowing that Staples Center was announced right before the game on Saturday that Staples Center will be used for voting in November? How important was that to some of these players and that initiative to make sure arenas that you know obviously are owned by some of these NBA teams are used for that purpose in November?
Well, I think Staples Center becoming a polling place is a symbolic victory. You know, electorally, the way that the overwhelming majority of NBA players wants this election to go, it's going to go that way in California. We know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not entirely sure of every last person on the ballot in LA County, you know, and state politics, that sort of thing, but. I don't think they have to worry about getting the politicians that would make the changes they're asking for out of the votes there. But it is important because the NBA and the governors, which means the owners, committed to doing this. And they did it, you know, under serious pressure. I mean, LeBron was ready to walk. So all the players want to make sure that you see this thing through. I think the bigger announcement today, I mean, if you're thinking about electoral politics and change and that sort of thing, the Milwaukee Bucks arena is going to be a voting place today. I mean, Wisconsin is a preeminent swing state in this election and was last election. It swung the election. You talk about Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, and now you have the arenas open for these voting places in Wisconsin. And in Milwaukee and Detroit, you know, that is potentially huge. I mean, I think, the current president, Donald Trump, I think he won by like 85,000 votes in Wisconsin. You know, I mean, that's nothing. That's a handful. And more access to votes certainly can swing that, which is what these players are, even if they don't say it, you know, explicitly. I mean, some of them do, LeBron did, but that's obviously the goal. So I'm just explaining what their goal is.
Joe, the final one I got for you, and I know you got to get going here to watch the second half of that Thunder and Houston Rockets game. LeBron in round one, his average was a triple-double, 27, 10, and 10. But really, you look at some of his games, he had a game where he had 23, 17, and 16, 36, 10, and 10. I mean, just becomes part of the routine. You've got a chance to cover LeBron James for years. Do we truly appreciate what this guy is doing on a night-in, night-out basis, or has he been so incredibly successful that we forget sometimes how amazing it is what he's done, not just through his career, but still doing it now?
Well, I just, for me, it was refreshing to watch him in the final three games of this series. He really looked like he was back at peak LeBron playoff level. You know, I still contend, Alan, that the 23, 16, and 17 night, he got that within the flow of the game. Like, he wasn't extraordinary, and when the game was on the line, he could not make a difference. I just didn't think he had reached his that next gear that he finds for the playoffs. And then he did in those last three games. And so when you think about the Rockets and you think about what's next, LeBron is playing at the level that, you know, those of us who have followed him for a long time have seen time and again in the playoffs. And it was the thing I really wanted for LA. I wanted you all to get a chance to see this. Of course, you guys have a long history of championships and greatness from Kobe and Magic, you know, all the way down. But playoff LeBron is something to behold, and it's something to witness. And unfortunately, it's in Disney instead of Staples Center, but still on TV, you're getting to see it, and it's something that you want to participate in.
Joe, thank you, brother. Appreciate you doing it. Enjoy the second half of the game, and we'll keep an eye out who the Lakers got in round two.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Joe Vardon from The Athletic, who's inside the Orlando bubble. I decided, let me come into tonight's show and let me spend some time talking about LeBron James, because for me, I didn't truly, truly appreciate Kobe Bryant when he was doing what he did. It just became expected. And, you know, I highlight that now is, are we appreciating what LeBron James does on a night-in, night-out basis? I got a chance to ask head coach Frank Vogel about that earlier today. We'll take some of your guys' phone calls as well, 877-710-ESPN. We come back, we'll talk about LeBron. I want to mention his stat line in round one, what he's accomplished with the Los Angeles Lakers. He really is truly, genuinely one of the greatest to ever do it, and I think sometimes we take it for granted. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN, are you appreciating what LeBron James is doing? Are you appreciating his greatness? Also, too, what were your thoughts on round one of the playoffs? What did you learn about the Lakers? Did you learn anything new than you already that you didn't know? And lastly, do you have a preference between the Houston Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder? They're in the middle of their game. Probably right as the show ends, we're going to know if Rockets are moving on or if there's a Game 7. All that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie, Mulan, experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. By the way, if you don't have Disney Plus, I mean, get with it here. What are you guys doing? If you don't have ESPN Plus, come on now. All right, so I mentioned this, you know, just getting a chance to see LeBron James. Got to read some numbers off to you guys. All right, even if you don't want me to read off numbers, I'm in the middle of a show. I'm going to read off the numbers here. LeBron's stats this postseason. All right, this first-round matchup against the Portland Trailblazers. So he averaged a triple-double, 27, 10, and 10. Let me go back to that. I say it's so casual, 27, 10, and 10. You know, when I get the opportunity and the privilege, I can't tell you how much I enjoy doing the pregame show, the postgame show. The postgame show, when, you know, Lakers win a game, lose a game, whatever the case is, I spend all this time talking about individual performances. How did this player do? And I complain about Kuzma didn't hit enough shots. And where's KCP? And Danny Green hit a jumper. And Anthony Davis either looked great or he could have done better, whatever the case is. What I don't typically talk about is LeBron James. I don't. And just naturally, I think I have, and Michael Thompson always reminds me of this. He says, listen, these greats, these players that, you know, go down as Hall of Fame players, Hall of Fame careers, top 10 ever in the NBA, there's a certain expectation every single night. Every night the expectation is, you know, near a triple-double. The expectation is you go out there and you just carry a team. And I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I talked about how I don't think I truly appreciated Kobe Bryant on a night-in, night-out basis. I really don't. I think it just became so normal that Kobe was the best player in the world or one of the best players in the world that night in and night out, whatever he accomplished, I was like, yeah, well, that's Kobe. But that's what made him so great. And I want to take a quick second here to stop and appreciate LeBron James. His stats in the postseason, game five, he had 36, 10, and 10. Game four, he had 30, 10, and 6. Game three, he had 38, 12, and 8. This is what LeBron does every night. That's the definition of greatness. The reason why so many people are starting to get excited about Luka Doncic is because he has that impact in every measurable stat line when it comes on the offensive end. And he impacts a game. He controls the entire game. LeBron James has been doing that for 17 years. LeBron James has been accomplishing that. So my appreciation for LeBron James, I'm trying my best to appreciate it more and more. I don't think I always do a good enough job. I hope listeners out there are appreciating what he brings every single night to the Lakers. And here's the reality. The reality is, I think a lot of Laker fans feel this way. There is an appreciation towards LeBron. You just need to see a championship with LeBron James rocking the purple and gold. You know what I mean? Like, I think that also adds this element of he brought us one. He ended up winning an NBA championship. I think that has a lot to do with it too. What he's accomplished and everything, this unbelievable career. And I heard Michael and John talking about this in the pregame show right before the game started about their Mount Rushmore and who are the top four, top five players. And I heard Ireland say, we need a couple more spots in that Mount Rushmore because there's all these greats. Well, the difference between these greats that have done it with the Los Angeles Lakers in the past, they won championships with the Lakers. So that's Magic, and that's Kareem, and that's Shaq, and that's Kobe, and that's Jamal Wilkes and James Worthy, and go down the list of all the great players that once wore Laker uniforms. And maybe that appreciation is there more if and when LeBron gets one for the Los Angeles Lakers. I asked head coach Frank Vogel about this, if he feels like at times – he does it so often that we're taking it for granted.
It's probably, I think the media and maybe the fans are taking it for granted. We don't take it for granted in-house here. You know, our coaching staff, our front office, his teammates, we all really, really understand and appreciate how special his performance is and what he brings to the table, and definitely do not take that for granted.
All right, phone number is 877-710-ESPN. You want to be a part of the show. I'll throw out a couple topics here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Are you appreciating what LeBron James is doing on a night-in, night-out basis, rocking the purple and gold? That's number one. What did you think of the Lakers in round one? Your overall thoughts. Did you learn anything from that series? And then the final thing, do you care who the Lakers play, either the Rockets or the Oklahoma City Thunder? I'll read off some tweets as well, 877-710-ESPN. Jay in Los Angeles. Jay, I appreciate you calling into Lakers Talk, bud.
Hey, thank you very much. I got 2 points. Definitely appreciate LeBron because, man, even after 17 years, you know, he had a bad couple of games, you know, a bad first game, and, of course, the national media piles on, right? And over again, this guy has to prove himself like – he's not a great player. And you read his stats, his series stats, 27-10-10. And that's a complete different from this first game and the national media were talking like he's lost three steps. But, you know, the other point I want to make sure.
Jay, and I want to stay on that. I mean, I guess does that prove his – or does that back up the greatness of somebody when if you're not having triple-double type of stats every single night, like I use this example for Anthony Davis. I've said this before, that when AD gets criticized, I'm okay with it because the expectations for Anthony Davis is to become a great, not just an all-star. I mean, to become a Laker great. So if he gets criticism, it's simply because the expectations are so high for him. LeBron, just his stats, I mean, they're stupid. I mean, at 36-10-10, 38-12-8, 30-10-6, and we just brush over them like, oh, no big deal.
Exactly. He doesn't get the, you know, people, he doesn't get the flowers that he deserves. Just one point in the rest of the playoffs. I like the way LeBron's shot looked the last couple of days, especially his three. It looks very fluid. I like the form, you know. I like the confidence, and if he can continue that for the rest of the playoffs, the Lakers are going to win it.
All right, appreciate you calling in. That's Jay here in Los Angeles, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to be a part of the show. Okay, so I mean, I'm taking a few more calls here in just a second, but I want to go back to a point that I was making, that LeBron, you know, winning a championship here in Los Angeles does kind of change everything, I think, from a Laker perspective, from a fan perspective. Those that are loyalists to the Los Angeles Lakers, it's all the other greats that have, you know, represented the Los Angeles Lakers. What made them great is they won championships for your team. And even if they didn't do it in a Los Angeles Lakers jersey, they won championships other places. So he's always obviously going to be considered a great. But the fact that we're talking about LeBron with the Los Angeles Lakers, I got to take a step back. I really do. There's plenty of times where I just go through the motions and, I see what he accomplishes. Listen, if he does it, obviously against, or I won't even say if, when he does it against the Houston Rockets, if it's the Rockets that the Lakers end up playing, they're up 9 right now in this game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Bring on the Rockets. I had enough of this Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm ready for round 2. Let's get to Wednesday. Luis in Pomona, appreciate you calling in. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
What do you think here? Which of these three questions that I put up there that you want to talk about? You want to talk about LeBron?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the LeBron.
Okay.
I think that I do appreciate him for coming to LA and taking over the torch and stuff. Mm-hmm. And taking us where we're at right now. But I think if for Laker fans, especially,
All right, Luis. I think we're losing you there. Keep going. We got you back. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, cool. As Laker fans, we're used to winning, the Kobe days, the Shaq days.
16 NBA championships.
Exactly. So for us to fully appreciate, like a player and say, hey, he did it. He did it for us. He did it for the people. And he did it, with the purple and gold. Like, that means, so much. And, it's like Karl Malone when he came to the Lakers, and he didn't win anything. When he joined Shaq and Kobe, nobody really remembers that Karl Malone was in the Lakers, unless you were like an actual, big fan. That was just my.
No, I appreciate it, Luis. I appreciate the perspective. Thank you for calling in. I'll say this: I don't like the Karl Malone comp at all, just because Karl Malone obviously wasn't leading the Lakers as LeBron James is. But I get your point. By the way, this is a Laker perspective that's incredibly fair. That perspective of, no, we appreciate him, but getting an NBA championship is really all that matters at the end of the day. I get that part. I understand that part. And, I think that's something that LeBron James, of course, is striving for. The organization is striving for. The moves Rob Pelinka has made. Can you imagine what the next championship would mean for Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers, or the governor of the Lakers? Can you imagine what it mean to the Buss family to keep the tradition going of championships for this Los Angeles Lakers franchise under the Buss family ownership? So everybody understands that, and maybe that appreciation would be a little bit different based off of LeBron winning a championship with the Lakers. One more quick call here because we do have the top 8 at 8 coming up. Peter in Van Nuys. Peter, appreciate you calling in, bud. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Peter. I think we should appreciate him every day. And even though we haven't won a championship yet in a while, I think with LeBron James, he's a very important catalyst because we've seen him. He's brought success to wherever he's gone. And I see the Houston in the playoffs, because they're going to put us to the test, but I'm confident that we'll be able to beat them in 7.
Peter, thank you for calling, bud. Appreciate you taking the time and calling into the show. All right, for those who are tuning in right now, you are tuning into Lakers Talk. You could tune in, obviously, on 710 ESPN, also on the ESPN app. When we come back, we're going to do the top 8 at 8. So we're going to go through top 8 stories around the NBA right now. We'll get an update on this Thunder-Rockets game. Thunder hanging in there, 68-64, 5 minutes left to go in the third quarter. So they're still hanging around, trying to fight for a Game 7. Plus, I'll take more of your guys' phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. And just around the corner at 8:30, Om Young Masuk. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.